without going through, you know, an unnecessarily long report. And this is based on the fact that we do not want members of parliament to see our report or our work as a work of accounting, but we want to see the, to see our work as a work that is intended to assist them in their oversight function, but also that we are doing the oversight function, not the auditing function. So these are some of the mysteries that we want to unravel, so that as members of parliament read our reports, those reports will be more meaningful to them. That there must be a difference in our report and the report of the auditor, or the report of National Treasury, and Section 32 report, because it just gives you a figure without the necessary additional information. But I'd also remind members, those who went to Victoria on the oversight visit, and those who were not there, that as part of our interaction with Mr. Treasurer, we have now agreed on, you know, changing the structure of Section 32 reports. That's the way the information that we receive from National Treasurer based on the Section 32 report is not meaningful, it's not useful to a parliament to do its oversight function. And now we are in a process, jointly with National Treasury, reviewing the structure of the Section 32 report so that they can give us more information. So I wanted members to note that the kind of working process that we have engaged on with the National Treasury, so that in future members in any other committee of parliament will find it easy to read Section 32 report, because they are challenging. Right now, the way the structure looks like, it's challenging, and from time to time, the Minister of Finance, you know, categorically states that on a monthly basis, his department sends Section 32 reports to Parliament, and Parliament is not using those reports. And as a committee, we found that the reports are not user-friendly to members of parliament. That's why there's this process of reviewing the structure of Section 32 report. That's why I earlier on said that our reports from time to time, the structure will change based on the kind of issues that we deal with. But what I would also like to request from members is, as we go through the report, let us look at what are the issues that we can include in our recommendations. That's the first thing. Second thing, let us look at the things that we can remove from our report, so that our report is not long, but it's short. Like I said, that we want members of parliament to use our report. We don't want frightening reports that are unnecessarily long, and members would end up not engaging with those reports. The other thing, members, is from the chairperson view, is that in our report there are some tables, long tables on either one, spending by government, no, all departments, general spending on current expenditure, on transfer payments, as well as on capital expenditure. Those tables give you a broader view. And my proposal is that let us take those tables and put them in the back of the report, so that our report will refer to the tables rather than them forming part and parcel of the report, so that we can minimize our report and see how workable it will be. If it doesn't work out data, then we will go back to the current kind of format that we are using, so that the tables will be used as an annexure that the report will say to get here with it, refer to an extra watch word. So that is the proposal that I'm bringing forth to the committee. And I also want to indicate that last week, remember that there are some departments that had not responded to our questions. They're full of questions and the information that we have from them. Some of them have responded, some haven't. And we've got a table. There is a two-pager. All members have got it. Yeah, this report. When you look at this report, you will see that Home Affairs actually got four columns. It's issues identified, the date when first question or the letter went, and the second one follow up and what is outstanding. So Sports and Recreation has responded to the two letters. Then the other, you can see that they haven't yet responded. And my recommendation is that regardless of whether the department has promised to respond or not, the reports that we already have or the responses that we already have, let us use those responses. But in our report, we will indicate that the department has not responded on time, rather than us waiting until very late, because the intention is that on Friday, when we leave this meeting, we should be starting with recommendations, highlighting issues that need to be included in recommendations. So that Friday, we discuss the recommendations and Tuesday, we adopt the report. So if that's acceptable with you members. Firstly, I wanted to make a comment on making the tables I prepared to as an extra. Any comment on that?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to concur with the proposal that is raised by the Chairperson. It gives sense, because you read the report and then you reflect from what you have registered from the report, and then you're able to reflect from the statements that are there.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Honorable Member. Is there any different view? Because that will be, for now, let's use that kind of approach. Because even in our management meeting, we also said that sections in our report from now onwards that have the same information like the information in the E&Es. That information must not be repeated here. Instead, we must refer this page of the E&E so that we can make members of parliament more interested in reading the E&Es, using them. So I think that's also acceptable. I can see Honorable Chikunga nodding her head. Yeah, it's important, members, that members of parliament must use these which means they are useful and they must. Thanks, Honorable Member. Right, so we will start. I think we must start on page. We are not going to look at the general comments, but we will start with section 2. On page 8, no, page 9. All right, before we continue with page 9, let the committee secretary indicate a few issues.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, members. You'll see that there, I think there are 8 or 9 departments identified in Section 2. And those departments are those which the committee has previously identified in terms of the categories of expenditure, so in terms of total current transfer and capital expenditure, where there are issues of concern to the committee. So as an example, where current expenditure in the department is recorded as particularly low, then those are the departments where the committee sent letters of inquiry to solicit further information. And those then are the departments which are reflected in Section 2. But just to alert members, you will see that there are some, so for example, in public enterprise on page 8, is comparatively short, whereas others, education, which is the following one, is much longer. And that is purely because public enterprises is one of the departments where we have yet to receive additional information. So what's reflected here is really just the comments that we could make based on the Section 32 report, whereas the others are comments that we receive because we receive further information and then we could analyze that to some extent. And just one other thing, just to alert the committee, the first paragraph, what we've attempted to do is, and this is going to be refined somewhat, is spell out very briefly what the strategic priorities of the department for the year are, because that obviously then relates to the spending of the department. So if the spending is low, then the question is how is that affecting those strategic priorities and what impact is that having? So that's the way the commentary is structured. It's, as the chairperson mentioned, a work in progress and obviously subject to the views and questions and concerns of members. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Let's look at public enterprises. Like it's already indicated, we haven't received responses from public enterprises. But I would like us to cancel one sentence, members, on page 10, under public enterprises. Red last paragraph, the sentence after 500 million. It starts immediately after 500 million in the middle of it. Paragraph. It says the Minister of Finance. We must cancel that sentence, the whole of it. Because remember that last week in our meeting, I was cautious about that 3 billion that earmarked for contingencies reserved for public enterprises. I couldn't understand. And I couldn't recall that it was indicated by the Minister that the contingency funds will cater for. The 3 billion will be for public enterprise. And when I checked through the ENE, I found that that was not the case. 3 billion is contingency reserve for the whole of government, not for public enterprise. So we need to remove that exemption. Honorable Dambuza?
Sir, before we remove it, where did you get this statement? Is it not a report from the public enterprise itself, or where did we get this? Where did we get this information?
Sir. Yeah, the information we got it from the researcher. But like I say, when Hanif prepared the report, he included that information, and remember, we couldn't understand actually how is it possible that National Treasury in the contingency reserve can it already funded for public enterprises. So we got it from the research, honey, but we think that is a mistake. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. So public enterprises haven't responded. But we can't wait for them. We must finalize the report. So what is your dilemma about the report? Remember that it has already transferred, it has already spent 98.84% of its budget in the first 3 months of the year. And a huge chunk of it has gone to state-owned enterprises. So the question is, I don't know, I want your comments, not my comments. But they intended, when you look at the first sentence of the last paragraph, it says the original approved drawings of the National Revenue Fund indicated that the department claimed drawing 438.4 million during the first 3 months. 438.4. The transfer to the SOEs therefore resulted in a deviation of approximately 500 million. They intended drawing 438, but instead they have withdrawn 4.052. Yeah, 1 billion already. They haven't explained. We have written a letter, they haven't responded. So maybe they're still figuring out how can they, I don't know which correct thing should we use. But they haven't responded. And when you look at the checklist, we wrote to them on the 10th of this month. And they haven't responded. So how do we finalize this one? And members must remember that we also have the right to refer some of the matters to portfolio committee so that they can further investigate if there's any need to any committee. Honorable Dambuza? Honorable Chikunga, have you raised your hand? Oh, you're still thinking. Honorable Dambuza?
Thank you. I think we do have a responsibility to find out, even though it is clearly stated that there is oversight over in the SOEs, but they have to come and account to us of the transfers, about the transfers they've taken to those SOEs. Is there any progress that is done by those SOEs? They have to account for those funds because they are responsible. They are the ones who request funding from Parliament. So they must come to us and account why they use that amount instead of the amount that was planned for. And also the progress. We need the progress, the outcome of the funding that has been taken to those institutions.
Yeah, thanks, Honorable Honorable
Thank you, Chair. Now, I just wondered on, you know, on this one, I concur with the previous speaker, but I just wondered whether we could have an indication from the department whether there's any contingency for this PBMR. Because I think that's rather important that we get, you know, have somebody on the side for that. That's one thing. And then, you know, the other thing I would like to know is what amendments are going to cover losses of certain state enterprises. You know, in other words, the transfers went to them, but to cover, you know, losses that they've made in the previous financial year, or to make them viable as enterprises so that they've got cash to operate. Whether we can have an indication of that from the department as well.
I didn't get your last point here.
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, what we're referring to here is that 438 million transfers to the state enterprises, to public enterprises. So what I was wondering, how much of that went to enterprises that are loss-making at the moment, making losses at the moment?
Yeah, Honorable Maishiko.
I don't understand very much on outstanding.
They promised that they will submit the report today. No, actually they were contacted yesterday to check how far they are. And they said today they will be coming. No, no, it's not yet available. Yeah, but my concern is that we can't wait long. Yeah, maybe we can use the response in the next quarter report.
Well, I didn't understand it's available.
Okay. So, Honorable Chigunga, you finally comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's unfortunate that we don't have the report because I should think it is very interesting for us to know. It's of great interest that we know as to how can this happen, you know, the expenditure of 98.84% in the first quarter. And like it has started seeing the contingency plan for the three quarters as to what then will be happening. I should think, Chairperson, we've got to get this report, whether we include in our next report, but I should think it's important that we get it. And probably consider inviting the department. Yeah, consider inviting the department so that we can get this report, not only a written report, but also with the department in front of us, so that we can actually get to know what is happening. It is of great interest to us as the Joint Budget Committee. Of course, the Portfolio Committee, but I think this is our responsibility as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Member. So, we are definitely going to continue with our report, regardless of whether we received the response or not, so that it's ready for Friday. And among the things that you are going to do is you must check what the amount is that goes to the enterprises that are not making and to others as well. But you should also know what contingency measures they have in plan, because they've already spent 98.8% of their funds. So we want to know how the department is going to be operational for the three quarters that are remaining. But we must also call them so that we would understand what kind of oversight they have over these SOEs, and even with reference to the issues that have already been raised. I think that's how we close the matter. Right, let's move to... I think we might also write to the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise, make them aware of what our findings are, so that they can also follow up. Yeah, that will be proper. Alright, let's go to education. Education responded, when you look at that sheet, it shows that they responded and additional queries were sent to them, and they said that they will respond on the 30th, but at least they have responded to the first set. So let's look at education. What are your comments? And I think, remember that last week, some of the comments that were raised, or the issues that were raised, was the fact that education transfers 74% of its budget of its transfer payments to institutions of higher learning. And the problem is, do they have proper oversight over quality of what is happening in those institutions? What are the money that transferred, they assist us in addressing challenges that we have in skills in the country? So that is one of the reasons, I mean, one of the issues that we raised in last week's meeting. But also that, how do they ensure that money that's transferred to the provinces, we leave a money well spent in those provinces. And I remember that some members even raised the fact that the education gets the biggest share of the budget. But it seems at face value that there's not much improvement in our education system. When you look at the output in at matric level, for instance, of matriculants who pass math and science, matriculants who pass on higher grades, and all those issues, and the challenges that are there. Even the low fee school was raised last week. So can we just highlight some issues there, members, on education? But I said a low fee issue. Remember that even in the FLC recommendation, it's also been reflected that there are challenges in the implementation of the low fee school policy. That schools that are poor are not included. Schools that are receiving nutrition, school nutrition, are not necessarily reflected as low fee schools. So there are many challenges in relation to the low fee schools policy. So can we have comments on the education member?
Narabula Mbuzo? I'm also interested on the on this aspect that has been allocated so much funds. And to my understanding, there has been this program. It's not a new program. It has been there for all these years. If you can check on the ENE, it is also reflected there. So I'm just interested that you can get more information about this. Well, how the progress that has been made from the previous programs that were there, and then how does this new funding is the impact, the expected impact of the new funding that has been put into this program?
Thanks, Honorable Member. Honorable Chikunga.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. You know, I am looking at the extension of the primary school nutrition program to secondary school. It's very interesting and interesting because one will not know as to how are they spending, how have they been spending the money for the primary school nutrition program, because in many provinces it has not been effectively working. In fact, I know of Mpumalanga that it would seem like it's they just can't implement it properly. I should think, Chairperson, we might have to look into that and look at their planning.
Because one other thing that will probably create
problems is when there isn't any planning, and probably they have not learned from the challenges they have faced in the implementation of the primary school program, and just decide that we are taking it to secondary schools without addressing those problems that are in existence right now. And of course, this is one program that has been said to be manifested with a lot of corruption, I don't know, or mismanagement, if I may put it that way. I think we've got to look into that and how this budget is being spent.
Yeah, the inclusion of secondary schools is a recommendation of the FLC. But what is the recommendation to national pressure? Which will be addressed in the coming year's budget? But maybe honorable member, like you have indicated, maybe we need to know, not necessarily based on the FLC recommendation, but on their spending, the challenges that they have faced in implementing the program. What have they done to address those challenges of meeting, especially procurement? They had serious problems with procurement for school nutrition, but also of reaching out to other schools but are not receiving it. Your indication is that we need to get it from the department, what have they done, so that as we engage with the FSC recommendations, but also as we will be before the end of this year, as we will be making comments on pre-budget report, we should also indicate to the Minister of Finance that this must be noted, that we are not happy the way the program has been implemented, but that already there's intention to extend it to the secondary school. I think that's our understanding. Honorable Swart, I noted you.
Thank you, Chair. I see talking about the school feeding program in this morning's Cape Town, there seems to be a problem with the school feeding scheme in Eastern Cape, where there appears to be quite major fraud, and I suppose you saw that. You know, just on education, generally, Chair, you know, we tend to have a general education. In other words, people pass their standards with history and, languages, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas I think, we should be concentrating in our education on skills development more than anything else. So that people, get skills with which they can actually get jobs rather than having the general standards of education. And I'm just wondering whether the department maybe can indicate to us, that whether they are concentrating on skill development in education, so that the people have more technical training in schools rather than just the general education which we have and which is to a certain extent meaningless in terms of the skills that we require in this country.
Thanks, Honourable Member. That's important. It is, I've noted you, Honourable Machu, it is important because right now it's 10 years that education has been, more than 10 years, education has been receiving the big slide. But we still have problem of skills in our country. So what you have raised is very important so that we know that already there are these steps, concrete steps that are done by the department to ensure that we will address the problem of skills rather than continue to a certain extent blame everything on the previous system. Honorable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we also have a problem in education in the sense that we have several NGOs and entities who come up with their educational programs, and it seems they work in silos. I wonder if the portfolio committee has ever tried to consolidate all those things to know who is doing what in education, because you hear that there's some training there, but under the Department of Education, especially the ABET one, that is so very, very much scattered that you don't know who is actually registered with the department to provide such information. And as a result, I think our statistics on who is being trained and who is illiterate somewhere along the line gets lost. And the department's input in all those different institutions and awareness, I wonder how far it goes, because maybe others are totally done out of the Department of Education, and we'll see how much, what impact it has on our education, so that the funds can be diverted to where they could be better used, while some outside institutions, outside the department, are concentrating and focusing on some areas of importance in our education. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Mayor. Do we need to get a report from the department on the impact of ABET funding? And then we're told that it does take place, but what is the impact? Is it helping us? goes to the noted honorable member. Honorable Chikunga, is for your hand. Remember the second paragraph indicates that education spend 11.93 of its budget, current budget, of the current budget, of which 16.83 was on personnel. 16. So if it's 16, it's not something. 16% in 3 months, spending on personnel. It means that there. Remember that the national department must monitor spending by departments, must monitor, by provinces, must also monitor. It monitors policy implementation, spending, and the issues that we are raising. It must take care of. But if it spends 16.8, it means that there's a problem. Capacity problem. Agencies are not filled. So what do we say about the 16% spending on personal expenditure? Although we can't take it for granted, obvious that for admin to spend well on personnel, it means every quarter it must be 25%. Because sometimes you may find that maybe the following quarter they've employed, three more of 10 people more. So expenditure will increase. But at 16.8 is too low. What are your comments, Emma?
Chair, I see that you did ask the committee, did ask for comments from the department on specifically that, and their report is only due on the 30th. So you think we could maybe wait just to find out what the response is on this?
Yeah, we can, which means either it will form part of, it will be an agenda more. If it comes that it comes very late, because remember I said Friday I want us to deal with the recommendations. So we can include it in the final report. Are you satisfied with the wanted to say something there?
Thank you, Chair. Now I was just in fact going to point that out that was one of the additional queries that we sent to ask for a much more specific response in terms of the vacancy rate and in terms of current expenditure in the department. But the other matter that was I'd just like to mention to the committee is in terms of the implementation of the no-fee schools policy. One of the outcomes of the hearings with the FFC last week was a recommendation by the committee that the FFC investigate the implementation of that policy for the next year, because they were suggesting that there was a lack of information on how effective spending was. So that could possibly also be reflected in this report, that either this committee concurs with that recommendation or that makes the recommendation separately, that the FFC perhaps pay more attention to that specific area for the next report. Thank you.
If you remember, during the presentation by the FFC, they indicated in one of the questions that were asked, in one of the questions that were asked to the FFC, they responded that initially they questioned the department on problems that will be there once the no-fee policy is implemented without addressing those problems. They highlighted the problems that the department may have and recommended to the department that if they don't go for free compulsory primary school education, but for no-fee schools, they must know what the challenges are with the policy, and they must address the challenges before they implement the policy. But unfortunately, it was done the other way. If you recall well, that's what the FFP said. Honorable Mashiach.
They even said there was no clarity because the example was a school about 5 kilometers away in Nosi and the other one. Whether they, the other one came, whether they were the tools they used for individuals or communities, because that cost a lot of what tools do they use. Because in the same area, one school, even in rural area, one school is Nosi school, and about 10 kilometers away in the same village, another school is here. So they didn't know whether do they look at individuals or the communities around that area. I was just in.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks, Honorable Member.
Yes, I think our question was, how do they determine, you know, what is an open school and what not, if we have that kind of situation where within 10 kilometers of each other, one is no free and the other one is free.
I thank you, Honorable Dambukus. But, members, if you remember, during constituency week, we've discovered that most of these schools have got problems. Number one, they don't receive, they haven't as yet received those funds. Number two is that two schools, like the FFC has indicated, two schools in the same locality, one is paying, the other one is a Nosi school. And children who are at those schools are children from the same family. And you ask yourself, but how is it possible that from the same poor family, one child can pay and the other does not pay? And that the schools which have been given, which have not been given the status of no fee, they are finding it difficult now to make parents pay because parents are not willing to pay. That I can't pay for one child from my family, the other one is not paid. So that those are some of the problems. So should we just leave it at, or should we make it part of our recommendations? Whilst I'm also organizing my thoughts. Honorable Dambuza.
Yeah, thanks, person. I was going to suggest that when we need to meet with the portfolio committee on this issue, to draw the attention of the portfolio committee, because it might happen that though FCC have managed to relate this to the department itself, but let's get the views of the portfolio committee around this issue. And then, because our concern is about the budget, that we need to get information from the portfolio committee. Are they aware of this, or have they? But it was John Melele's challenge.
Yeah, thanks, Member. I hope that it's acceptable that we must meet with the portfolio committee. Maybe they can even make us aware of why was it important to go for no fee schools rather than at least going for compulsory free primary education. Because that's what, it would be easier to implement it. But let's ask that parents will have to write in it. But I'll also do informal interaction with the chairperson of the portfolio committee. So that they will accept that we will meet. But remember, members, when we say that we are going to meet the portfolio committee, it will be in addition to our program, because we already have, you know, days of meetings for our committee. But that will be in addition. So members must understand that one. All right, let's move to... So we are done with education. But what I like the last paragraph on education, where they explain to us how they monitor. And these things are indicated, you know, in different pieces of... Yeah, because when you take DORA, conditional grants, they've taken just what is in DORA. And whether they are doing it or not, even that's why we've got a problem. That is it value for money they are spending. They tell us that on monthly basis they receive reports, they check them against an approved business plan, and the fact of the matter is whether a department province is spent or not. Do we get value for money? What goes to that program? So I was just indicating that that last paragraph is what is indicated to each and every department, that this is what you must do. And if they do it according to what is prescribed, why are we getting no value for the money that we give to them? That's one thing that we'll engage on with them when we meet them. But let's go to transport members. Transport. Remember, transport is one in the, I think last week during our discussion, we discussed the fact that it has a high turnover of staff and it's critical for infrastructure development in the country while it has high staff turnover. So we then said we want to know what are the problems, why do many members of the personnel leave the Department of Transport? What could be the problem? And these are some of the issues that portfolio committees must look into, because if the department is not well managed, people will leave out of frustration. Mm-hmm. If senior managers don't, run the department well, people will leave the department out of frustration. So I was just reminding members that in our discussion last week, this is one of the things that we picked up. That imagine that there are 63 resignations. It says, in the middle of the last part, one paragraph, that although the reduction of the vacancy rate in the department was identified as a priority, the number of field posts only increased slightly between April 2006 and March 2007. But then there were 63 resignations. Then we've got 66 posts remaining vacant. So while they try to fill the posts, resignations are there. Many resignations. That's why they might be that there are problems at senior management level that forces people to leave the department. And I think it's one of the questions that we ask the department. So what our comments, members? And remember, if this continues, come September, come October, environment will okay there. Posts that are not filled, remember that every year, departments where they haven't filled posts, they go for environment. That's what they usually do. And we expect that possibly with transport, it will be the same. Possibly with education, it will be the same. Because they are not spending as expected on business. Honorable Sir?
If we look at the report, the same situation actually was there last year as well with this department. There were no spenders. And, I'm just wondering whether we could ask the department whether they can perhaps for the last 2 years give us their human resources division should be able to give us figures on labor turnover and the reasons for that for the sake of the last 2 years, so that one can sort of establish a trend as to why we have this high labor turnover in this department. Because basically you had a lot of resignations and there's a lot of vacant posts, and as you say, we don't know whether it's a problem with management, but there seems to be a problem because last year we had the same, sort of low expenditure.
Thanks, Honorable Nema. So we would request that report, and they must also give us a reason for maybe categorize the resignation. But also indicate which posts have been vacant for the past 2 years and have not been filled. And maybe, further details, because even sometimes, you know, I don't know. And I'm saying I don't know. Because you find that in some cases, I remember in last year's MTBPS, that among the departments, one of them had taken post in cleaner post. And you ask yourself, but what specialized skills does a cleaner, you know, need? Because you would expect that it would be easy to fill that post. So they might give us, you know, the breakdown as well as the reasons. I think we've noted it here. Honorable Dambuza, Honorable Mashiri will follow.
Chairperson, I'm not happy even by the response of consequence of the longer term nature of certain projects. That response, I need to this. Why I'm saying this? We know that projects have got phases, whether it's long term or short term. You cannot just say you're going to pay, make the payment at the end or at the completion of the project. So that statement to me, it means nothing.
Let me just wait, give Honorable Machin the opportunity.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe I do not understand something here because I wasn't in last week, but I don't understand the non-funded post when they had, how they managed to have non-funded post. Maybe it was explained the other week when I wasn't around. Because if they had, they requested funding and they had a number that added to 1,022, but out of this 1,022, 414 were non-funded. Does it mean that, how did they fund them? Because they already had funding for posts, and 414 were not funded from the budget. I don't understand very well. Unless if they had met before the financial year, they met the number to the post, and then those posts were filled, and they decided they happened to have more posts which were not funded from the budget. I don't understand how it came about. Because the budget was originally not matched to the post. Unless the budget was originally matched to the post, I can understand why 414 was not funded from the budget. Thanks.
Yeah, usually, I'm not sure in this case, but usually what happens in government is that departments in their budget, they were indicate that so much goes to personal expenditure. These are the new posts that need funding. And the new posts that need funding, it's not obvious that National Treasury will provide for those posts, funding for those posts. But instead, then they would wait until funding is made available for those particular posts. While all other posts, including the ones that are vacant, which has been in their system, you know, included in their allocation, whether they are occupied or not. But the ones that are unfunded remain until National Treasury provides funding for those schools, which I assume they are not part of
understanding on personnel. Because they will only fill in the post once allocation has been done for those posts. So it can be a matter of a high vacancy rate because posts were not funded. Those ones are not, you know, they are just regarded as dormant. They are dormant posts until money is provided for by the initial changes. So they can't be the reason why the department is understanding. I wonder if I'm understanding. Yeah. It's just like, you know, you budget that I need so much for these things. And you are told that for this year, we will give you so much for this and that. But for this one, we are not going to give you. We'll see you maybe in the NGEF. That's the situation. I think I noted. Do you want to clarify something, Kaya?
No, ma'am, just to support what you're saying. The excuse that they've got posts that are not funded, from the onset, those were not allocated in the budget. So it's not an excuse. It's just an excuse that is lame, basically, because nevertheless, the fact of the matter is that they have spent they have underspent it, basically, irrespective of those posts that they were planning that are not yet paid in front of Parliament.
Yeah.
Here is, you know, that percentage, the percentage spending does not include those positions that were not full because there's no money. And they did don't indicate the additional funding of 15 million which they got for the 414 posts. But how many posts were, you know, did that cater for? We don't know. You know, did it cater for an additional 20 posts or for 414 posts? We don't know the seniority of those posts and for what it catered. So maybe if we can do an indication of that. But then I would like to join the Honourable Member here about the comment that the capital expenditure, they didn't spend because of the longer-term nature of the project. And that should be totally different. That should be the other way around, because this department is spending, must be spending a lot of money on preparing for the Soccer World Cup. And they must be getting invoices and being, asked for money virtually all the time by whoever is developing this for them. So, I really think that is a very, very, very lame excuse that they're giving here.
We are politicians. Maybe members who don't understand because we are politicians. There's a department which is critical for 2010 and beyond 2010 for infrastructure development in our country. Cannot by this time have a better system of payment, dealing with invoices, and also monetary projects. Maybe it's because we are politicians, that's why we don't understand how difficult it is to develop that kind of system when we expect that they should be having those systems in place, and also that they should be from time to time reporting to Parliament in terms of how far it is. Because I remember in one of, I don't know which report, I think it's the FSC, where it's indicated that a certain percentage of national roads is not in good condition. And you ask yourself, if that's the case, they should have developed a system that makes them have easy access to information and to monitoring as well. That's why I say maybe it's because we are politicians, we don't understand how difficult it is in these departments, but I don't think it is that difficult. I don't think so. I mean, payment, procurement system, if you set it up, so once payment is made, you can easily trace it in your system. At national level, whether the payment was done at local government level, you can easily trace it if systems are in place. But that's it. So it should be one of the issues that we raise with the department. I,
I just wonder who is in charge. Oh, Mr. Schneeman is not here. Because I was interested in, I'm not sure whether they've already reported to Parliament. If their report is on the ATC, I haven't followed it up. Because they had an oversight visit before we probed for reasons. They went to hosting cities and checked the state of readiness in those cities with the transport infrastructure, the plans and spending. And they found that in some cities, there were no plans at all. There were no plans at all. And if there were no plans, what has the National Department done? Because it's the one that was supposed to have assisted the whole city. So, I wonder, I'm not sure. See, my secretary also is not here, and we're giving a lot of work to Perana. Can you check with the portfolio committee on transport? Check the research from the portfolio committee. And if there's the report available. Yeah, but I know that, you know, the portfolio committee was shocked to find that kind of situation in most municipalities. And if it's 10, remember we are talking of 10 whole cities. What about the others? What about other national and provincial roads, which are not closer to those whole cities? That's another challenge. But I think we must have interaction with the report. Just plan through it. And maybe they can share their experiences with us so that as we continue monitoring spending on infrastructure by the department, then we would have a better understanding of what did they see if they didn't expect to see during their oversight. Alright. Any other thing on transport?
I'm just looking at another report here. Maybe I think it was this information was put on last week's report. Where here on the current report we're having, the department has stated, the last paragraph has stated that of the amount allocated to current expenditure, which is 541 million, was assigned to goods and services. During the period under review, the department spent 56.2
million.
Or 10%. But now with the department's program, understanding on goods and services was most acute in transport regulation program number 3. It's transport regulation and integrated planning. So here is the information about that program and also program number 4. And we've got that information too. But now I'm also interested on the Soccer World Cup, where they say contracts for the monitoring of the various projects has been concluded in June, totaling to 9.6 million. Then an amount of 5 million will be shifted to compensation of employees to create internal monitoring capacity. So, I've got a problem with this information. I don't know whether other members do have this information.
Wait, which page are you referring to? Oh, alright. Yeah, the last one.
They are saying they have understand on goods and services under program 3 and program 4. then program three constitutes road transport regulation, where they are supposed to be, I think, the next, the systems we are talking about, their understanding on the system. I think it is important to note that. Yeah, at least, yeah. And then rail transport regulation, all those regulations. How could on earth, if they don't have, the regulations are not up to standards, how do they expect performance, good performance? Because if they are lacking behind on those, I can understand the SIU has agreement, if their agreement was to pay them next year February. No, it's fine about that one. But with the others, I don't understand what is happening there. And then the service providers have been appointed for the research and development, but there are no claims yet. So, do you think that is practical? Because we have the complaints even from the service providers that these departments, they don't pay them. They pay them late. They make their payments late. So I don't know. I don't know, Chairperson. I'm confused.
Yeah, it's meant to confuse us. It's meant to confuse us, honorable members, so that you find it difficult to do your oversight work to see where the problems are. You see, we talked about those problems. Look at program 3, because it says within the department's program, understanding on goods and services was most acute, most acute in transport regulation. And if it was most acute in transport regulation, this is 2007. 2010, just around the corner. How are we going to regulate it to make it easy for people to travel around the country without, you know, having complaints like when the inactive was implemented? So you look at program 3, I mean 4, integrated planning and inter-sphere coordination. Inter-sphere coordination, coordinating between provinces, local government, and others. Is that coordination is that understanding what actually is happening? That's why it's important. And unfortunately, we are even increasing the workload on ourselves as a committee. That we must interact with these committees. But anyway, we have to. So that we make them aware of what are our findings. And they can make follow-up. But honorable member, it's a serious challenge. Yeah, it is, definitely. That the department will... Remember, annual reports are due. In their annual report, they will tell you how good they've done this thing. They will tell you how good they've been working with other departments when they are understanding on the program. Just read it. I bet my word. You will find that they are going to report very well on these two programs. Honorable Spa.
On a specific point as well. I would very much like to know how they are spending on the recapitalization program of taxis, because that is also crucial for the 2010 World Cup, so that we have decent transport and decent taxis on the road, also for purposes of safety of our passengers and our population. And as far as I can gather from taxi operators, they just hear nothing. They just don't know where they are as far as the recapitalization program is concerned. So I wonder if the department could also report to us on specifically the recapitalization program of tax.
Let's check page 6 on
This thing, the one that has the report, I think it's reference 4/4/1/1. Do they have it?
Members do have it, but I'm not sure if they brought it.
If they brought it along for me. Let me quickly read it on page. Yeah. It says, yeah, on the taxi recap, funds budgeted for provinces to assist with the recap project were not yet spent. As the needs at various provinces are being reassessed. Furthermore, payment of service providers will only be made in the next quarter, as quarterly progress reports must be submitted before payment may be effected. Yeah, Karen.
Just to clarify, that's for the taxi recapitalization project office, and that's presumably, I stand obviously corrected, but presumably that's sort of the central office that is coordinating the whole program. So I don't think that's on funds that are actually being spent on the taxes themselves, but the management structure. But that sort of begs the question if the management structure is underspending by effectively $4 million, I think. But how can the funds be channeled correctly?
That admin support just to include the office. The admin support. But the project office, those millions, is meant to make it possible for the recap program to continue. So administration support is covered there at the bottom. It's part of administration by the department. So it might, you know, I don't know whether for the first quarter they did not. You know what? Yeah, that's why I say it's meant to confuse us. If people haven't done the work, it's meant to confuse us. Because if for 3 months the department hasn't spent on taxi recap.
On the recap of the department, the money are transfer funds from the department to the provinces. And surely, you know, it should be reflected in the transfers in that the money has been spent. But that's not the case either. So, you know, I'm a bit concerned about it. And then, of course, if it's been transferred, do they keep tabs on the provinces as to what is spent and what has been spent on the recapitalization program for, you know, by the province?
Yeah, because what ideally, honorable member, would be that provinces submit reports, work in progress, then they would get additional funding so that the national department ensures that that's, you know, a frequent reporting. But it therefore means that the national department must also have, you know, a specific team that deals with the matter. So that if maybe for 2 months there's no progress happening, actually every month, not for 2 months, every month, they must get into contact with the provinces. So if for 3 months there's nothing, there must be a reason why. Unless if they say that we put it on hold, that departments, I mean provinces, based on 1, 2, 3, this should not happen. Yeah. I mean that's ideally how it's supposed to happen. But maybe the portfolio committee and the researcher who deals with the that the portfolio committee can assist us. But the unfortunate part is transport, I think, takes the reach when it started. Was it lucky when the first set of taxis went into the media that this is how far it's going? We were positive that they would even, towards the end of the financial year, find that they've run out of funds and be waiting for the treasury to allocate them. They start spending immediately in the first quarter. That was my expectation, but now it's different. All right. Is there any other thing on? I would request members, just as part of your info, that this report on Friday, please bring it along, so that from time to time when we refer to it, you will be hearing it. We received it last week. Should we move to the next one? There's the police. You know, I like the police. For one, the department. I like it for one thing. It runs very well. But go to community. You'll get a different view. What is happening there? I see, but I'm not saying you must comment on this one, members. I'm just reading what I always see in my constituency that, you know, they've got, these days it's not a problem of not having cars. They have cars available. But members of the community still wait many hours, long hours, to receive assistance. Their cars there, personnel, they've been given 150 over the medium term posts. But is there a change in police stations?
That's another problem.
But I was just saying, you know, from time to time, the way I've been studying their reports, you will see that they spend well. But the fact of the matter is that spending, is it commensurate with the service that the people receive? That's another thing. But let's look at the report, members.
Hi. The report is just short and sweet. But just to highlight what you have already highlighted. The increase in the human resource component within the department. What impact does it have within the communities? Is there a real change, especially in the rural areas? In my area, I remember there are so many police stations within the rural areas. But I wonder if they do have necessary capacity or resources to perform better to service those communities. Because we find that those resources might have been distributed to the areas. We understand that those areas that have got high crime, we cannot dispute that. But we still expect that those resources must also be distributed to the rural areas. And I understand this CPF. Who funds the CPF? Who's responsible for funding for the CPF? And in the rural areas, even the CPF, rural towns, the CPF are not strong. They don't get necessary support. Then forgetting about the status or the state of those police stations themselves. They don't have the necessary facilities, those units for women that are experiencing those units to counsel for counseling the women that have been experiencing the challenges of women abuse. The necessary facilities, simple ones, they're not there. That's it.
With the CPS, Honorable Member, did you want financial assistance, whether it's province, whether it's national, that they're supposed to help them? That's the question.
Yes, I think the person will have to know who supports them. Where do they get support from? Is it the national department, provincial? And I think even the issue of these reserves, there's a lot. Those reserves are not treated like human beings, the treatment that they are receiving. The recruitment, they recruit them. Once they recruit them, they don't treat them in a kind way.
You want to comment on it, Honorable Mashiro? You know, Honorable Member, I'm not sure, maybe this would be a specific case. I'm not sure, and in general, I haven't looked into anyone of how reservists are being treated. I haven't checked it during my oversight work. That maybe we could ask the portfolio committee, you know, if you've got a specific case. That you could liaise with the portfolio committee so that they follow up on the matter and respond to us. Just for information. Honorable Member?
I've not responded to the portfolio committee here. That brief report about. Because I've done the oversight around that issue. They don't pay them the dues, they've got those dues. When they've done the roadblocks, yeah, they have to be given their money. They are not given. Since last year, some of them. And when they request their payment, they are told that they must quit because of volunteers. They came here because of my volunteers.
I think you can take it up with the portfolio committee. Let's get that report on our member so that we can raise it with. Because I mean, it's pending if there's money allocated for things that send to those reserves and they don't receive it. We need to know where does it go. but we need to interact with the portfolio committee so that they can follow up and tell us actually where. Yeah. Maybe it might even reveal the general problem. Because we need take it for granted that it's only in that area. We need to find that it's not only there. It appears or it takes place even in other areas. It might be the tip of an iceberg. But so let's you have something on our phone.
If you get more money all the time, you know, the crime rates actually go down. But we don't find that, there's a huge increase in the budget allocation for the department. But there's not a commensurate reduction in the crime, particularly violent crime. And I wonder if we could ask the department to just do as a graph, on that, how the budget increase as opposed to what happened to the, the violent crime situation in South Africa. I didn't want to talk about this department because my next door neighbor's daughter was shot through the head day before yesterday. So I would rather not say anything. But,
so is it because of what happened yesterday that now you think we need to know? But for your information, even a member of this committee, although she didn't say to the committee, Honorable Trump, her two daughters were hijacked in the same month, and the other one was even shot. And she was in hospital for some time so that they could remove the bullets, not on one of occasion, but on two different occasions because it was a problem. And, they had to deal with that kind of a trauma. But maybe let's not say violent crime, but various kinds of crime. Yeah, let me, because I was worried when you said, no, everybody said it's fine with this report. That's why I then said, but what is happening on the ground? Is it commensurate with what takes place in spending? Because if allocates more, it means crime must reduce, and when people come and complain, they must get assistance, response to a complaint by members of the community. The response time must also reduce because now people have cars. Now people have more police. So the response time must also be low. But even with case backlog, that, cases that are investigated, the majority of them can go through the court without being withdrawn or delays because police haven't done proper investigation. Those are the issues that must be reflected in terms of their spending, whether they're paying for money. So, then let's note that one so that we can get it from the department. Yeah, let's get it from the department. Okay, let's move to programs.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to get clarity. Do you want in this report research done in terms of reflecting on budget increases in respect of specific departments? So, for example, safety and security. I know there has been an increase, a dramatic increase in the budget. So should that then be reflected in the report? And then the point the committee is making, I think, is that such increases should correspond to reduction in crime rates and other outcomes. That then would be the observation of the committee. So whereas spending appears good, it doesn't necessarily, it would need to wait until those figures became available.
I want to close this, Kaya.
No, the one for the crime death, I can get that quite easy for you from the graph, basically that reflects the number of violent crimes. So I can shift to the
from
No. I'm just laughing because sometimes there's a contest between SAPS themselves and FSA in terms of crimes reported, if they would come with their own and they say that no, rely on our. I remember that usually when the DA asked questions, they thought that they would say no, our, not a FSA, but our. These are our statistics and we are liable and whatever, but that's looking to, you know, a debate whether which ones are liable or not, but get us statistics, even if it's from both ZSA and some. But you see what is important also, and it's just unfortunate, you know, as part of our pre-budget analysis, it would be important for us to know what trends have developed in spending vis-a-vis the output. So that we would then say, in education, spending has been increasing, you know, in this trend. In health, it's been increasing in this trend, in police, in corrections. But these are the outcomes. So whether the outcomes are going down or not. So that we can, in our pre-budget analysis report, we can then say, but we've got a problem that SAPS spending has been increasing dramatically. But the outputs are not commensurate with the spending. So can you explain this? So that even when the budget over the medium term is done, that should be taken into consideration. But even spending, the capacity to spend, that is our observation, that although they get the allocation is increasing, but spending capacity does not prove the same. Yeah, so these are some of the issues. You see, Karen is in Kaya. I've said that as we continue with our quarterly reports, from time to time, issues that we refer to the pre-budget analysis report, they should be reflected as such, although they are part of our report, quarterly report, so that by the time we compile the pre-budget analysis report, we will already have issues that have been highlighted by the committee during our meeting, as such, just focusing on them and finalizing the report. Yeah. Any further input? Honorable Mashiba, did you raise up your hand?
My concern with SAP is their leaseholds, because it seems they rely very much on lease, because I know where my constituency is, the police station is leased, it's an old house. I wonder how long that's going to happen. Their arrangements or their policy on their own buildings, because I think if they can have their own buildings, because this is a long-term thing, like schools, is there no way they can at least invest in their own buildings than lease buildings until
I don't know how many
police stations are leased, but I know where I come from, they've leased the police station. And it seems they pay a good sum of money there. Thanks.
Hey, just following on that, you know, if you read the top of page 12, yeah. It says, concerning current spending on specific goods and services, the department highlighted that expenditure was affected due to the new arrangements on public works relating to the devolved budget, especially pertaining to the payments for planned maintenance, property rates and taxes, and detailed expenditure on the latter planned quarterly and not monthly. You know, that to me, I don't understand it. So it's not clear, you know, what it meant by what they're saying. So if they can maybe, you know, give us a better explanation of what they mean by that sentence. Because maybe I'm just not good at English, but this is funny to me. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions?
Kaya, how did you understand it when you looked at it, the response?
This is the response that they have given, basically, in explaining their spending pattern. So we haven't manipulated it, we put it as is. Then the members have to engage with this explanation and state whether they are satisfied or not with the explanation that is coming from the department.
I thought that Kaya, because this is what the members are supposed to do, but I thought that you would then clarify it to them. So if it is the way it's put, the way it appeared, that's it. But Seran wants to help.
Well, I agree with the source. I'm not entirely certain what they mean, but I think what it's saying is that obviously the Department of the Police Services, as well as other departments, have an arrangement of public works in terms of their buildings and their infrastructure. So this response seems to indicate that there are new arrangements which are complicating the relationship between the departments. But what it means specifically, in terms of, especially, for example, devolved budgets and what exactly how it works is not clear, clearly.
Services expenditure in this category is impacted upon due to the new arrangements by public works relating to the devolved budget, especially pertaining to the payment of plant maintenance, property rates and taxes, and leasehold expenditures. The latter that is claimed quarterly, which is leasehold, and not monthly. This environment will, however, be monitored closely and interventions will be impacted upon when necessary. You know, I'm thinking those of you who went on an oversight to Pretoria. I'm just thinking, although I'm not saying it should be part of our report, but I'm just thinking that if you recall, when we went to SAR, remember the two buildings, the one that is being lit and the one we sat. It built itself when they realized that a public works was taking an unnecessarily long time to construct the same building. And you find that for a department, no, even SAS, not SAS, SARP, the same thing. Remember that they said they had to do the extension, renovation on their own because, you know, the extension of their offices. They had to take it from public works because public works was very slow. And when you look at those structures, you know, they're impressive. The one at the Reserve Bank and the one at Revenue Services. And now there's this new devolution by public works, which you don't know how it's going to assist, but the department has been complaining having problems. I'm just trying to think this thing of public works and department accommodation. I don't know. Can we flag it for clarity by National Trade and Peer? You know, so that we can discuss it. Get information. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that if public works needs to be structured before us, or if we, you know, some sort of interaction with them. Because clearly, the departments have problems with public works, the accommodation. the way Public Works is handling the matter. At some stage, departments receive the allocation, Public Works must claim from them. At some stage, it's the other way around. At some stage, it's other institutions that would receive funding from Public Works, and the same institutions, they do the work for Public Works, and Public Works must get payments from them. You don't, you know, the way this thing has been arranged by Public Works, it's really confusing. So I don't know how we can handle this one, but it's a problem. It's a problem because when you look at the, you know, residences of different departments, in some instances, they leave much to be desired. And everybody says Public Works is not responsive. Public Works is not responsive. Maybe we can think about it. Maybe we can think about it because it impacts on all departments, actually. Remember that Public Works is the one that's responsible for accommodation. So maybe at some stage we need to. But let us say that we must first clarify what is the arrangement. Because that arrangement impacts on how payments are done. And that should be approved by National Treasury. All right. Although we were not looking at Public Works, but it's because of what the staff police have indicated in their report. But let's move to, should we move to provincial and local government? All right, Karen.
Thank you, Chair. Just like to clarify the remaining one to the four departments, four sections, provincial local government, home affairs, sports and recreation, housing. Of the three, we've only received a response from housing and late last night from sports and recreation. So in terms of the detail that's reflected here, I think that in terms of sort of past experience, home affairs and sports and recreation are sort of departments of concern because they frequently have problems with their budgeting. But housing is the only one where there is substantial comment at this stage. Thank you.
Let's look at my friend. No, I said detail different. Yeah. Although DTLG was not amongst the ones that you needed clarity on, but just quickly, is there anything that you want to say about DTLG before we move to the next one? So which is Home Affairs? Because Home Affairs, we had issues. But not DPLG. Which basically says with DPLG we didn't have a set of issues that we wanted clarity on from them. So let's move to Home Affairs. With Home Affairs, they haven't responded.
On home affairs, the department, one of the most important functions that they now have to get off the ground is what they call the honors project for the smart cards because of the high incidence of corruption in that department, the ID books, etc. Because, you know, if you have a birth certificate, you can get an ID book, and to forge a birth certificate is nothing, it's easy. So, you know, the introduction of the smart card, on which I think they've already spent up to last year 1 billion rand, but it's not off the ground. There is no smart card, you know. So whether we could just ask them to clarify for us what progress they are making with the smart card, and the, because there's a huge budget for specific.
Yes, honourable members, that's the suggestion that we need to check with Home Affairs. They must explain to us what progress has been registered in terms of the smart card, because that's huge budget allocation for the smart card. And the smart card member is must also assist, alleviate, you know, some of the problems which you will come across in 2010 of people crossing illegally in India. So we need clarity on the spending program report on spending smart card. Okay, yes, look at it. What else do we want to raise? And lucky enough to the oversight visit, we were informed by staff that now, even to our relief, that now they are the ones who deal with the, what's the thing called? Customs. Yeah, because it's an animal, scaring animal to home affairs. But now at least staff is dealing with the customs. And not some relief. We hope that they will not find it very difficult to adjust to the functions of customs, because sometimes it takes long for a department to adjust, but we hope that will not be the case. I saw Hank, Mr. Schwartz.
Hey, it's just on the face, I'm concerned about the fact that the expenditure is so low, particularly in view of the high incidence of refugees coming into the country at the moment, and illegal immigrants crossing our borders itself, which places heavy additional burden on the Department of Home Affairs. I'm just wondering whether they have sufficient, because I think this is something which has happened over the last few months, whether they've got sufficient funds in their budget to actually deal with the problem, which is going to become a serious problem shortly.
I don't know, because I'm not sure if it's been one of questions to the minister, or if it was one of the statements where the department didn't see it to be a problem with those people across. That, they are part of us. There's no, it seems there's no proper monitoring of NC. Especially at the base page. So, if I say, I don't know. Because I thought that even those movements would be monitored so that they would know. And But even it means if there's more people entering, it impacts on their financial results. Can you have comments on that? Honorable Dambuza?
Yeah, thanks. I'm suggesting that let's interact with the committee before we take any resolutions or recommendations. Because we don't have to take these things just simple as we take them, but we need to engage with the committee.
I think that members are agreeing of interaction with the portfolio committee. Alright. Any other see your hands, Honorable Dambuza?
Yeah, I think I have to apologize for this, because I think only I've got one point on GPLG. One point. A concern about their understanding on the current expenditure. Because if the reason for understanding they shifted to the equitable share, if we can read our first sentence here on page 1 on the total expenditure on section 1, it is the total expenditure consisting of current expenditure, transfer payments and capital expenditure for the national and provincial spheres for this year. Fine. In the national sphere, that is excluding the provincial equitable share, the estimate reduced 261 billion. Fine. So it means the department focuses, when they give us the reasons for their understanding, they will refer to the equitable share. But here, on page 3, we find that they have only spent 19.55% on their current expenditure during the first quarter. Because if the other expenditure is caused by employees, the human resource challenges, what are they doing? Because they have to monitor. Even themselves, they've got a responsibility to monitor this fund.
Yeah, honorable member, you know, the table, you were referring to the table, but when you look at the table indicates that the DPLG, yeah, on current expenditure, the first month spent 5.9, second month 5.9, third month 7.5, and in total it spent 19.55. You know, sometimes my basic, in this case the arithmetic not met. Yeah, I would say the arithmetic not met. You know, I sometimes fail to understand that a department on current, and remember current, it includes business, it includes that on monthly basis a department can spend 5%. And if it's 5%, you multiply it by 12, it will give you 60. It says there's a problem somewhere. Somewhere there's a problem. That's why I say, in this case, I mustn't say names. I must say arithmetic. Because arithmetic will tell you that if you've got something that's supposed to be stable, like a current spending on personnel, or spending on the people you have in the department. Unless there's a slight change maybe in towards, you know, at a particular stage when you've got more people employed. But it would be around a particular level, not at 5%. Not at 5%. If it's at 5%, it means that somewhere you've asked for money that you do not need. I wonder if members, if this is logic. You know, I don't know, it's just a problem. That's why maybe it's relevant to you, arithmetic. Those who have studied arithmetic at some stage in their school life. But those who've used math and calculators will see it differently. Okay?
Thank you, Sarah. I'd just like to relate this to something you were saying right at the beginning of the meeting. One of the challenges the committee has is now that in terms of the information it receives, because current expenditure obviously includes goods and services as well. So if you go to, for example, Foreign Affairs, which is near the top, you'll see expenditure in April of 2.05% and expenditure in June of 10.49%. Now, the difficulty the committee faces is determining how much of that is personnel expenditure, which should be relatively stable, and how much is goods and services. And unless we have those figures disaggregated, it's very difficult to make any kind of judgment on that. But obviously I agree with what Jeff is saying. And that's why the nature of the Section 32 reports in the PMFA need to be looked.
Yeah, that's why we've got a challenge at the committee. For an affair spent, although we are not looking at for an affair, but that's the example that he has given. In April, they spent 2%. In May, 5%. In June, 10%. Yeah, that's one of the problems that we have with this Section 32 report, because you don't necessarily get information that with personnel expenditure, this is what has been spent. It's just the current, and it's just to check what did they spend on. Maybe on current, in June, they had to employ more consultants to do the work. I don't know. And when you ask the department, they take their own time to respond. But it's one of the things that we need to finalize at some stage in terms of our work operations by recommending to Parliament that when we expect departments to respond to Parliament within prescribed time frame, just like the high pressure. So that when we write them letters of queries to explain further, they must respond within the required time frame or the stipulated time frame.
Okay, members, that was for the government that the Honorable Member said to. Let's go back to which one will be dealing with housing. No, before housing, it was Home Affairs. If we dealt with everything that we wanted to raise in Home Affairs, because members must remember, we say that we must interact with the portfolio committee. And sometimes the portfolio committee, you know, in my interaction with chairperson, some of them, it would be important that when we have, for instance, when we have a joint meeting, we must ourselves have more information so that we can, in our interaction, we can assist them to understand the issues from our angle. That, you know, on this thing, and this one, so that when they take the issues up, at least we would know that at a later stage to follow up. They will then, I mean, they will see that our meeting, joint meeting, was useful. So it's important that some of our interactions, that will be our responsibility as members of the Joint Budget Committee. Right, so should I pass to the next one? Sports and Recreation. Sport and Recreation, we said that it responded only last night. Yeah. So we'll look at the response. Then probably if there's a recommendation, we can bring the draft recommendation to the committee on Friday. But is there anything? I don't think there'll be much, because the other issues you raised before we wrote the letter. So it's the contents of the letter that will dictate what we need to discuss in addition to what we have already discussed. All right, let's move to housing. Housing has responded. We sent another letter as per your question. So that is housing. Any comments on housing? So, members, I hate you with the kind of houses. Yeah. You're hitting the kind of houses that are given to the people. But as a point of interest, once you are thinking that I was impressed with the current report that municipalities in the Northwest had to be stopped by the National Department from making payments to service providers who did not provide quality housing. That was a good thing. And I was really impressed, because people know that they can, whatever service, whatever kind of quality you give to government service, you will always be paid. Yeah. So I think that was good on the part of the department.
I'm just looking at the comments that we read last week about the software, which means the system in housing, but I can't find it here. Maybe the secretary can assist us.
Thank you, Jenny. Yes, that was one follow-up question that we put to the department, and obviously when we get that response, we can expand. There's a mention in here, but it's not reflected the way the committee dealt with it, because it is subject to the department's response.
Yeah, the checklist indicates that you will respond, I mean, receive the response on the 6th year. Yeah. So let's hope that it will be covered. And if we hope that has been addressed, because cooperated in its meeting last year. During the hearing with housing, because of the reports that are there, they raised it, and we hope that it has been addressed. Okay, so members, before we complete our meeting, we have decided that in our report, there are some issues which may not be recommendations to Parliament, but being work in progress, which needs to be included in the report. Just briefly, for instance, the fact that through our interaction with Mr. Treasurer, there's going to be, Mr. Treasurer is going to change the way it reports, the Section 32 report. It's important for us as a committee to report to Parliament so that Parliament would know that through our effort, now the kind of information that they will be receiving from Mr. Treasurer will be different from what they have been getting. So we then said, from time to time in our reports, there must be that section that would indicate. We will see how to name it, but it should indicate some work in progress that the committee has been doing and where we even expect responses. For instance, like we say that we intend having interaction with calling departments for a hearing. That is work in progress, so that portfolio committees would already know that some of the departments, although we haven't indicated which ones, they would know that some departments will be called. And I think by Friday we will be in a position to indicate which departments will be called for hearings. But remember, on Friday you had already given indications of some of the departments that need to be invited, and we sense that after we have received all the responses, we will then finalize which department must be called for hearing and for further interaction in the future. Is there any other before tomorrow the activity? Is it still on the report? Members, remember that tomorrow we have a meeting with SCOPA on implementation of PFNA. That meeting is very important, members, because it's going to assist us to check what are the departments, what is the view of Mr. Treasurer, what information do they have in terms of PFNA implementation. Because if the departments do not implement PFNA, they will not give us information like we're having a problem now. And these are some of the issues that we can raise with National Treasury. That although you indicate that departments are good at implementing PFNA, but you have a problem that you are not receiving information. So can we make sure prioritize that meeting? Because PFNA, what we are doing right now is PFNA. And it's important for us to have it. But the report, remember that we had, we were supposed to have interaction with National Treasury on implementation of PFNA, and also DPSA and PSC on vacancies. So DPSA is not ready. So they will not be part of tomorrow's meeting. They are not ready, and you are still interested in knowing what can they tell us about vacancies in government which are giving us a problem? So we're still interested in that. Then on Friday we continue our Friday, what's the program on Friday, Karen?
Thank you, Jane. Friday is quite a relatively long program. It starts at 9. I think there's a briefing by Treasury on Treasury guidelines for the upcoming MTVBS budget. And but I also, of course, understand the committee would like to finalize and deal with this report as well. So depending, the agenda could be broken up into two activities. The first would be a briefing by Treasury, and the second we could continue with this report. But just finally, I'll obviously send notices out probably tomorrow when I get confirmation of those of the agenda. But also, just for the members, there is lunch in the old assembly restaurant on behalf of the committee. Thanks.
You know, the guidelines are important for us in doing our work, so that we have the understanding of what are the guidelines. So that one department must say, this is our agreement with National Treasury. No, some of these issues must be some stage of management. We were also thinking that we need, at some stage, we'll see if members agree, of bringing National Treasury to the committee to talk to regulations. Because those regulations are huge to go through the document. So just to have a broader view. Because departments operate according to the regulations. So if they talk to regulations that are more relevant to the Section 32 report, not all of them, but to Section 32 report. And in particular, the inclusion of procurement, because from time to time, you see this thing of invoices, this thing of the way procurement is being done by departments. So we need the National Treasury to talk to those regulations, if members agree. But we thought that it would be important for us to have, a broad view of what is contained there, because, I mean, we've got a lot of work to do. We can't go through the document. It's too big for us. Yeah. Thanks very much, honorable members, for your presence. We've registered a lot of progress. Then we will meet tomorrow. Where?
Done corrected E249. It's on the E249.
Thanks very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Sorry, just to remind members, there is lunch now in the old assembly.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.